Good afternoon. I'll start with a quick review of Sunday's performance. Obviously, it was a failure. It still looked that way yesterday as we reviewed it, both as a staff and a staff and a football team. Very rarely do you lose a game and just be able to so clearly point to a few areas of failure being the reason why you lost. And I think that we could do that with this performance. Obviously, the way we turned the ball over and the way we're highly penalized offensively were two critical errors that led to the performance. You know, I mentioned very rarely, but very rarely are there such extreme failures in those areas. You know, we turned the ball over 8 times. We're highly penalized offensively. It quelled any drives that we got started. It created negative field position. We talked, quite frankly, all week about being backup quarterback friendly. Those two things, and particularly in combination, are not very backup quarterback friendly. So that being said, obviously, you're not going to have a positive performance. We did not. We looked at it yesterday. We of course, accept responsibility for that. I chiefly accept responsibility for the lack of ball security. You know, it was two legitimate things that caused the outcome in that area. Quality play by the Cleveland Browns, physical play by the Cleveland Browns, and really kind of poor ball security and lapses in ball security or ball mechanics by us. Created the perfect storm where we turned the ball over as often as we did and really eliminated any chance for rhythm or eventual success in the game. Really, when you go back and look at it, it's quite amazing that you only lose by 6 when you provide that type of leg up to the opponent that we did on Sunday. But we'll be prepared to move on. Obviously, we'll get back to some fundamental things, some things that are us-oriented, because that's what's utmost important as we move forward, that we do a better job of complementing our strengths and minimizing our weaknesses and not beating ourselves. That'll be a supreme focus of us this week. From an injury standpoint, we've got some guys that could work themselves back into play here this week. Jericho Cotri ran yesterday. He'll participate partially tomorrow with an eye toward playing. Ben threw the ball yesterday. He'll take steps maybe toward playing this week. We'll leave the door open for him. He's got a chance. Mike Adams has an ankle sprain. He's out. He'll be replaced by Kelvin Beecham, who, of course, replaced him in the football game. Willie Colon looks a lot better. He may need a day or two at the early portions of the week, but the knee that got him at the latter part of last week is much improved, so he's got a strong chance of playing. Byron Leff was through yesterday, but we'll just take a look at him and check on his availability. While I talk about Byron and Ben, I'll be clear in regards to our plan at the quarterback position right now. Right now, Charlie Batch is our quarterback. We're working offensively, putting together a plan to complement his strengths, and that's our plan until otherwise. Obviously, these guys will be participating in some form or fashion. We'll let that participation or the result of that participation guide us in terms of their availability as we push toward the latter part of the week, and we'll see where those guys are a little bit later in the week. But as we sit here today and we're preparing and putting together a plan today, we're doing so with Charlie Batch being our quarterback. Lamar Woodley could be characterized as doubtful with his ankle sprain. If he's unable to play, of course, he'll be replaced by Jason Worrells, who did a solid job in relief for him in the last game and has done a solid job all year in relief of both him and James Harrison. Antonio Brown is going to practice tomorrow and be scheduled to play. Troy's going to practice tomorrow with a possibility toward playing. We're encouraged by his status as well. So we're looking to get some guys back potentially, but, you know, we're not going to hold a breath in that regard. We're going to continue to focus on readying the guys that are healthy and holding those guys to the standard that we're accustomed to, which, of course, is winning football. It's important that we get back on that side of the ledger. This is a big football game, a division football game, of course, versus our division leader. Let's talk about the Ravens here briefly. Really no need to get into in-depth description of this group. Of course, we just played them here a couple weeks ago. Not much has changed with that group since then. Really, if you looked at what happened this past weekend, it's really a capsule of what they're capable of, you know. They're a balanced group, man. Ray is special. He's a guy for all situations. I've said before, even 4th and 29. That's a special football play. But it also not only highlights his abilities, It highlights the abilities and belief that they all have in one another. For Joe to dump that ball off to him and for him to do what he did and pick up a block, the type of block he picked up from Bolden, is really just a snapshot of what the Baltimore Ravens have been about this year. They found ways to win. That's what winning teams do. We better be prepared to match that level of intensity and camaraderie. You know, the tight end position, Peter has been exceptional. I think he continues to find ways to show what he's capable of doing. Sometimes at the expense, Dixon went down in the game, but he really showed what he's capable of. I really think they're doing a nice job of continuing to include Jacoby Jones in their offensive game. He's showing that he's a viable receiving option, as is number 17, Williams, to complement their normal arsenal of guys led by Bolden and, of course, Smith. On defense, you know, for us, like I talked about earlier, is more focusing on what it is that we do well, our readiness, making sure that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot. We can't turn the ball over, obviously. We can't be highly penalized. But within that, we do have some matchup things that we need to be concerned about with what these guys are capable of. Obviously, with Calvin Beecham in there at tackle, you know, we got to do a good job of schematically helping him protect the passer, particularly in situational football, third downs. Kruger, of course, their edge rusher along with Suggs. Those guys flop. We got to be prepared to get those guys blocked. Kruger did a nice job against us last time. Terrell Suggs, of course, has done a nice job against us historically. I think it starts there in terms of formulating a good plan versus these guys, making sure that we can keep those guys off a quarterback along with, you know, the usual suspects, Olote Nada and others. In the special teams game, I thought the return, of course, last time was significant. It really was a winning edge when you look at the game. It was the difference in the game. We got to do a better job in defending Jacoby Jones. He's a known threat. He was known before we played him last time. He just simply added to his resume against us. We got to be better in coverage this time than we were then. Their punter, Cook, is doing an awesome job, 47 yards per in gross and I think 40-point net. So they do a nice job of flipping the field position when they're not successful offensively. Hopefully that provides an opportunity for us to get our return game going. But largely for us, it's about, you know, focusing on what it is that we do, playing to our strengths, minimizing our weaknesses, and, of course, stop doing the things that have shot us in the foot of late, namely the turnovers and the untimely offensive penalties. I'll be happy to address any questions that you might have.
Mike, I know that Charlie Batch is your quarterback right now. What did you learn yesterday from Ben throwing and about his status, and what would it take for Ben to be able to play on Sunday?
I didn't really learn much. I didn't view the throwing myself. I was just informed that he threw, and it was a step in the right direction, and we'll continue with those steps as we proceed throughout the week, and we'll let the results of that work lead us into the direction that we could potentially go.
Mike, have you decided on who the starting running back will be and how you will handle the rotation this week?
I have and I will. Jonathan Dwyer is going to start for us at running back. He's been consistently the most productive guy. I think we got a large enough body of work to be able to identify that at this point. Obviously, we've been working in less than ideal circumstances with the rotation and shuffle of those guys due to health and lack of production. But over the course of the last several weeks, it's obvious that he, one, A, is healthy, and two, is the most productive of the group. So he'll start for us and get the bulk of the carries. The other guys will supplement him in some form or fashion based on situation and how we formulate a game plan.
Mike, he fumbled on Sunday in that game. Does that hold true? Will he remain the starter? Should he fumble in the future here, or is everyone on that short list?
I deal with things as they arise, and particularly the circumstances surrounding it. I try to stay away from the hypotheticals.
What made you go so quickly to the next back each time someone fumbled this week?
Because fumbling is unacceptable. You know, we talked all week about, you know, being quarterback friendly or being backup quarterback friendly, and turning the ball over is not that. And we made that very clear even prior to kickoff. So that's why we did what it is we did last week. Has no bearing on how we might conduct ourselves this week.
Mike, the personnel moves you made yesterday, is DeCastro that ready? And Gilbert, apparently his knee didn't respond. His ankle didn't respond.
Yeah, what we did, and I should have mentioned that earlier, what we did with Marcus, we put him on IR. We gave him up to 6 or 7 weeks for that ankle to perk up. We knew that it was a possibility that it would not. It has not. Surgery is a strong option. That, of course, will require him to go on IR. That created a spot or an opportunity. David DeCastro has been working here for over a week in terms of practice. He's healthy enough to proceed. We slotted him and moved him up, and we'll just continue to work him in practice and see what he's capable of doing.
Is there an option to put Foster at tackle as well and maybe play DeCastro, or how did that?
That is potentially an option, but based on our strengths and what we know right now, Calvin Beecham has played. DeCastro has not, other than preseason football. So we feel that that's the best mode to take at this point. But obviously, position flexibility has got to be an element in this thing as we push forward through the week. Obviously, with Mike Adams being down, Ramon is going to have to be tackle capable. You know, he could be the third tackle as I sit here right now. But that's just normal football for us. We value position flexibility. We acknowledge that guys are going to have to show multiple skills in order for us to be the type of team that we desire to be.
Mike, Charlie, he seemed to function better in the no huddle. Was that something he seemed like he was a little bit more consistent? So would you guys go to no huddle more just to kind of keep him sharper?
That's a possibility, but not based on anything that we've seen on tape or anything that's transpired. It's just that we've worked it and it's part of what we do.
Mike, can you talk about Mike Wallace's performance and whether his role will change moving forward?
You know, Mike was frustrated on Sunday, and rightfully so. You know, he's not producing in the manner in which he'd like to or we'd like him to. It's a function of a lot of things. He's just going to be committed to continuing to work, and we're committed to that as well.
Are any of those things effort? Have you seen anything less than 100% effort from him?
No.
Mike, you have two guys listed, Sanders and Wallace, at the one right wide receiver. What will determine who starts there?
Situation.
Mike, Ben, I mean, you've coached Ben for a number of years, and you know that if there's any way that he thinks he can play, he's going to say he can play. I asked you a similar question last week. You know, what have you learned about him and what he tells you before a game and how he may actually be feeling?
You know, just like I told you last week, you know, I've got relationships with these guys, so it's more than just about what comes out of their mouth, but it's also how they say it and about what it is that we see. And what it is that we see being probably the chief element in terms of decision-making. He's not going to be allowed to play unless he shows us that he's capable.
How is Hoyer picking up the playbook, and is he still in a situation where he is only to play an emergency, or is he gotten to the point where if you feel the need to try for better play, would you put him in?
He's doing a nice job of picking it up, and, you know, right now I guess he could be described as an emergency guy, just not enough exposure. Hopefully that changes over the course of this week, and I think that is a possibility.
Like you said after the game that Charlie's performance wasn't good enough. What have you seen from him that leads you to believe that he still has that in him?
You know, just his body of work, not only that singular performance, but just his body of work, not only through this season on the practice field and training camp and in preseason settings, but what he's done since he's been here. He's a capable veteran guy, one that the guys believe in, one that we know is capable of providing a winning-type performance for us. That didn't occur on Sunday, but he wasn't alone.
Mike, I know when you say you accept responsibility for the ball security, how and why?
Because it was poor in some instances fundamentally. You know, carrying the ball on the inside arm on a couple of instances, not double arm wrapping the ball when we're backed up. Situational rules that we live by, evidently they're not being relayed strongly enough because it's not getting done, and we put the ball on the ground, and ultimately. Coaches are responsible for those things, and obviously I don't run away from those responsibilities.
Yeah, Mike Beecham had that kind of a tough call go against him when he came into the game right away, but how did he adjust after that?
I thought he represented himself very well.
Mike, fumbling is always unacceptable, but from a coaching standpoint, are there certain circumstances where a fumble is understandable, if not acceptable?
You know, there's certain circumstances that are more understandable. I don't say that any turnovers are readily embraced by competitors or coaches.
Coach, what did you see from Plaxico, and moving forward, how will he be used?
You know, I thought he provided a shot in the arm, particularly there at the end of the first half for us. You know, we targeted the red area as a place to utilize him and a place to begin teaching him what it is that we do and fitting him into what it is that we do. We'll continue with that process this week, and obviously there's a chance his role could expand outside of that area as well, and should.
Is Rainey 100% after that fumble? Looks like he twisted up his leg.
He is. He was just seeking comfort.
Anything final?
All right.
Thank you.